Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 7th chapter, verses 21 through 24. If you want to follow along, it's on page 99 of your New Testament in the Pew Bible. Just to give it a little bit of context, so we don't go into our reading blind, so to speak, John's Gospel reveals to us this powerful piece of God's rescue plan for his creation. John starts with this great picture of the eternal Logos, or the Word, being in the beginning with God, and Jesus, of course, was that Word, and that Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. He tabernacles among us. And John's Gospel begins with this reality that Jesus was from the very beginning, and it was Jesus who spoke and created all things. And John's Gospel ends with this great sort of statement that says, and I'm sure that if all the things that Jesus did were written down, there would not be enough books in the whole world to talk about what Jesus accomplished. And so we are drawn into this picture of Jesus as the eternal Word who comes to live in and among us, to not only show us what the Father is like, but to show us what it means to be human. And so we are on this journey with Jesus to really see how he rescues us and how he brings us to places of new life and to experience what it means to be born again. Now, in the Old Testament, there was the sign of the covenant. And that was an important part of how the people of God understood it, this sign, this covenantal sign of circumcision. And it was going to be okay to even perform that on the Sabbath because they wanted to be faithful to this covenant promise. And here now in this chapter, what we find is Jesus responding to the charge of the Pharisees and religious leaders, because just a couple of chapters before, in chapter 5, Jesus heals a man by a pool at Bethsaida, a man who had been, as Scripture describes, invalid for 38 years. And around this pool were those who were lame and blind and paralyzed. And once a year, the waters would be stirred, and whoever got to the water first would be healed. And John tells us that Jesus went and saw that the man had been there a long time. I could almost preach on this passage, but I won't. He had been there a long time, and He goes to the man, and the man laments that every time he finally is able to get to the pool, someone else has beat him to the punch. And for 38 years, the man's condition is one that would be described as painful. Jesus has compassion on the man and heals him. And he says, take up your mat and walk. And I look at it and go, what would it have been like to have been at that scene? To see a man who had been invalid his whole life all of a sudden take up his very mat and begin to walk. And instead of rejoicing and instead of celebration, those who were the gatekeepers of God people were upset. Why? Because Jesus did it on the wrong day. And so our gospel reading finds us there. Jesus answered them, I performed one work, and all of you are astonished. Moses gave you circumcision. It is, of course, not from Moses, but from the patriarchs. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath in order that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me? Because I healed a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of God for the people of God. All right, so where was I? It's good to be back. Thank you for having me to speak to you at the culmination of your fall stewardship drive, in which the vision for what you all believe God is doing has been laid out. And we are going to look at, just for a few moments, this idea of what is at the heart of our mission, and why is it necessary for us to have hearts to actually heed the call that God has placed upon us, not only as individuals, but collectively as a community, here in this place, in this time, for such a time as this. Pastor Dennis mentioned this last service, and I think it's worth repeating. Oh, by the way, when he told me, well, when he announced to us that whenever Marilyn goes on vacation now, he's going with her, I thought, well, I guess I better keep my calendar open, because last time he went on vacation. So I'll be ready for you, Pastor Dennis. Just give me a call. This began with a call. A call to heed again the voice of the Spirit of God. A call for the Holy Spirit to fill the hearts of the faithful and to rekindle within us the fire of His love. And I will tell you this morning that as Pastor Dennis was talking about it, I have a confession to all of you, that there can be fewer prayers more dangerous than that one. To ask the Holy Spirit to rekindle in our hearts a sense of fidelity and a sense of fire of love. I was taken back to my own life and my own experiences, and if I may share for just a moment, because I actually think it brings some of this to bear as to where this sense of call begins and why is it important. A number of years ago, I was in a place in life where I could describe as conflicted. My own life, on an internal level, was in disarray. There was lots of dissonance, and there was a lot of fracturing. There were things in my life that were not as it should be. And I can remember standing in the kitchen at my house. I was the only one who was home, and I was doing dishes, and I was looking outside at the mountains, and I heard what I believe, and I am convinced, is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because my heart was strangely warmed. And I simply heard this: Mario, it's time to come out of the shadows. And I knew exactly what that meant. And there was a part of me at that moment that felt relief and release. Yes, finally. But then there was a part of me that's like, well, no, whoa. Time out. I don't want to do this, because it's painful. And there will be people in my life whom I love who will be hurt and wounded. But that voice calls us. It is for our sake and for the glory of God that He calls us to Himself, that He wants His people to move out of a place where we live in shadows and in the recesses of places which are hidden, and into His light. Why? Because He has called us to do something for Him and with Him. And so this sense of call begins most intimately within each and every one of our hearts. So over the past few weeks, you've been looking at this idea of call and of ministry. And so here is your first pop quiz. Who's called? Perfect. I need this side to be a little silent when I come ask this side over here. Who is called? If you are called, raise your hand. We're all called. We are all called. And part of this idea is, this call is to realize that, again, that part of this is a reorientation, a reworking of our own lives to the work of the Holy Spirit. That our sense of identity and vocation comes from responding to this call. That we are not only called to something, we are called for something, but we are called ultimately to someone. And Hilltop has been exploring this idea of this sense of call and its sense of mission. And I will tell you this morning that one of the challenges that the church has, not only in our day and age, but in all times and all places, is to understand that this sense of call is ongoing. That, brothers and sisters, I stand before you as someone who is convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, because of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished, that the church's best days are not behind us. They are ahead of us. That we serve a God who has spoken meaningfully within his creation and has called us to that work. And that we are to be an oasis in a desert, a voice in the wilderness. That we have a story to proclaim. That we have a gospel to preach. That we have discipleship and healing to teach and to administer. But that our lives are to embody this grace that comes through Jesus and extends itself out into all of the earth. Stewardship, then, and our call to this, our response to this call, is not simply a matter of checking a box of saying, I paid my tithe, or I've given my offering, now leave me alone. It is this idea that all of our hearts and all of our lives are called into this, that we as a people have been gifted and empowered by the Spirit of God to be salt and light to our world. We have what we call in our church liturgy. Liturgy simply means this: the work of the people. And we say it, we have a prayer of dedication after every offering. And the tradition that I'm ordained in, usually we would have the same offertory prayer week after week. And we would say something like this: Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourself, our time, our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. And oftentimes, these words can simply become words, can't they? They can become rote. They can just simply go into the motions. But if we were to stop and think and again become aware of the Holy Spirit rekindling in our own heart that fire, that sense of presence, we realize that all of our giving, all of who we are, is simply a reflection of the faithfulness of God in the first place. That we simply admit that God is the one who has provided us with all of these things. And so all that we possess belongs to him. We have been called and commissioned to go out and compel those to come in into the kingdom of God, into the reign of God. It is a part of, again, our liturgy of the prayer that we pray. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, bring up there, down here. Let your sovereign reign extend to the ends of the earth. And we pray that not only for our community, but for the globe. But what would it look like for us as the people of God in response to this invitation if we prayed it even personally? Lord, bring your reign into my family. Bring your reign into my home. Bring your reign into my marriage. Bring your reign into my relationship with my children. And we have then a sense of a rekindling. And we've been asking the question then, what is the role of the church? Is the church a building, or is the church a community of people? We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now we have the challenge to move with hope and courage, to bring the kingdom to bear through prayer and action. That is indeed God's redemptive purposes in the world, to bring new life and new creation into the world. You know, one thing I love about every time I drive past 106 South, Monday through Sunday, when I drive past here, what do I see in the parking lot? Cars. And what do cars signify? That there are people here. That again, this place is a place of an expression of God's love in its community. Whether through Mother's Morning Out, whether through Hilltop Christian School, whether through Bible study, whether through Family Promise, there are always people here. And so we see that, yes, we would all agree that the church is not a building, but the church is a people, but we occupy a building, a space, and that space is used for the redemptive purposes of the world. Now, as you heard, on Wednesday night, you're going to have a fantastic scholar talk to you about the Wesleyan contribution to the Reformation. And he would tell you the same thing I would. For nearly 2,000 years, the Church Universal has been known for its hospitality. And what I mean by is this, that there were times in the world that when people were traveling, regardless of their faith affiliation, they would see a church and they would know that that church would take care of them. That church would provide a place of harbor, a place of, if I could say, a place of belonging. And the church was known for that. And the church itself would welcome in these strangers and they would care for them as if Jesus himself were that stranger, because they truly believed that perhaps they were indeed entertaining Jesus in disguise. And so you see, brothers and sisters, it's never a building for the building's sake. It's always a building for the sake of furthering the kingdom, of renewing the community, of being a space and a harbor, of a place where someone can come in Monday through Saturday, where life has beat them up, where things have not gone as planned, where the diagnosis has been grim, where the news has been awful, or perhaps the news has been joyous, and they can come and sit and be with God's people and be reminded that they are a part of a story larger than themselves, and that this is indeed a place where they can belong, believe, and become who God has called them to be. This is why we care for the place. This is why we care for all that God has entrusted us. It's why we dedicate ourselves even to the idea of the beauty of music to speak to us in song. This is our calling. Richard Hayes, in his great book, The Moral Vision of the New Testament, reminds us that the church is indeed God's chosen vehicle in the world to announce God's imperatives to the world. That we have been the ones to let people know that there is indeed a call to transformation, a call to healing, a call to forgiveness, a call to renewal. And that all of that, even as we speak it, requires an embodiment, a call to action, if you will. Hilltop is indeed on a journey. Your best days, I am convinced of this, are ahead. This call for the Spirit's work and the Spirit's fresh movement is not something that is going to be regulated to a six-week stewardship drive, but is something that you are called to embody every day of our lives. I knew I liked Pastor Dennis, and I knew I loved Hilltop. I loved them both, okay? I don't just, you know. My first Sunday, when it wasn't even during Eastertide, and we began the passing of the peace with "He is risen. He is risen indeed." A remembrance that we are always people shaped by the reality and promise of resurrection. That our calling into this new creation is to live in this life in which we not only believe, but actually understand and work towards and continue to embody this idea that Jesus presently sits at the right hand, making all things new. that he is indeed the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the firstborn of the dead, the promise of a new creation. And that his ascension means that we indeed can be empowered and entrusted with the very Spirit which resurrected him from the dead, so that we can join him in this work of announcing liberty to the captives, freedom to those in bondage, healing to those who are sick, forgiveness to those who are bound by sin. And to remind them that indeed that the Lord's favor is upon all of us who would respond in faith to this gracious gift. And so we are called now as a people, so to speak, to get behind this work and to believe that our best days are ahead. I've mentioned this in the past, but it's worth mentioning again. One of my patron saint is Saint Bono from U2. And in one of his songs, he writes that we tend to glorify the past when the future dries up. And we are always at a crossroads. Pastor Dennis preached a number of weeks ago that a call to remember is a faith statement. And we should rightfully look at the past and celebrate the things that God has done. But we don't look at the past and think, oh, those were the good old days. Because think about it this way. The God who spoke everything into creation, the God who called Abram and said, get up and go. Look at the stars in the sky. Look at the sands on the sea. So shall your offspring be. That is the same God that you and I still serve today. He's not changed. And so what it means for us is this: the call to remembrance is a call for us to say, if God did it then, he can and will do it now. And that is why we remember. And that is why we respond. We celebrate what God has accomplished with a faithful expectation that the same God who called and worked in the past is still active and moving today. I'll end with this. Stewardship is indeed a matter of the heart. And we have to have hearts to heed our calling as the people of God. Stewardship is a part of discipleship. Discipleship results in transformation. Transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. It points us to his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. The Holy Spirit points us to the reality that we are his people, that we are the beloved, and his favor rests on us. Not so that we can sit and congratulate one another and pat ourselves on the back, but instead to continue in this mission of bringing God's kingdom to bear into all of the world, to be a place of radical hospitality, a place of amazing grace, a place where our hearts are renewed daily, a place where the poor are cared for, the hungry are fed, the naked are clothed, the marginalized brought in. That is what we are called to. We are to be a people marked by hospitality, by generosity, and a radical, contagious holiness that calls everyone into being to bring wholeness and renewal into the ongoing story of God's salvation. This is important. I talked a few minutes about this. Let me go back and just kind of touch on this, and then I'll close. We always talk about this idea, is the church a building or a people? And most of us, when you talk to your friends and neighbors, they will ask you this, where? Where do you go? This is so important. If we understand our sense of call, if we understand whose we are, And if we understand why we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we actually embody that in whatever sphere of life God has called us to, people are attracted to that. They are attracted to the church, the people of God. But ultimately, they're going to want to know, man, where do you worship? Because chances are, if they are attracted to you, they are going to assume that everybody at your church is like you. And there is something about that collective ethos of welcome, of embrace, of belonging, of believing, of becoming. People want to know where. And so it's easy for us to say, this is where, but we all know that it's more than just here, isn't it? We are called through a Monday through Sunday endeavor where we are committed to the Lord time and time again. But I encourage you to say that whatever the sphere of influence God has given you, what Pastor Dennis and what I do and what Roberta does and what everyone who ministers on a Sunday morning, we are just but a small part of this larger sense of call that God has indeed given to all of us. And we are all equally important before the Lord, and all of us has a responsibility to respond to this call. You heard it in the ministry moment, if not us, who? If not now, when? And I'll put it to you this way, why not us? Why not now? It's that first step of moving towards that idea of heeding the Spirit's call. Yes, sometimes we are obedient and we go right when we hear Him call. Sometimes we are pulled, and sometimes we are pushed. But this is the faithfulness of God in action for His people. My encouragement to us this morning is for each of us as we continue to respond to this call. Don't forsake our first love. Don't, as Paul tells us in Galatians, grow weary in well-doing, because we do reap a harvest at the proper time if we don't give up. Statistics, trends, market analysis do not determine our future. God does. Those things are important for us as data points because they let us know where we need to pay attention and what areas of weakness we are being called to. But we believe in a God who moves and acts within His people. And so we can live with hopeful expectancy that as we continue to follow the Spirit's call, His plans for us are good. And all of the promises of God for us are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Renewal is always a challenge and a comfort. The way in which we respond this time to this season of stewardship may be not only comforting to us, but it may be challenging. And I would encourage you with this. However you hear the Spirit's voice leading you, respond in faith. If God is calling you to be even more generous with your resources, with your time, with your possessions, do so cheerfully, knowing that all that you are doing is going to the redemption of all that God has made. For those who have given cheerfully of your resources, your time, and possessions, know that nothing of what you have given has been wasted, that you have faithfully reflected the goodness and faithfulness of God. And every seed that we plant, everything that we work towards, God will cultivate and bring to fruit things that will last. When we hear His voice, not only as individuals, but as a church, may our hearts be open and generous to meeting the challenge of our calling. And when our God calls us, may He hear us say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." We have been called to a good and lasting and fruitful work, brothers and sisters. Our best days are ahead. Continue to pray this dangerous but good prayer, that God's Spirit renew our hearts and rekindle within us the fire of His love, knowing that God's Spirit renews the face of the earth. And he will use us to bring that to bear. We say these things in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you all now to please stand.
Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.